to find some meaning in the results coming out of Iowa last night, in which Mitt Romney took the caucus by only 8 votes. Rick Santorum came in a very, very close second, and then Ron Paul in third. Joining us now, Anna Sale, reporter for The Takeaways, co-producer WNYC's political website, It's a Free Country. And back with us again today, Stefan Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University and a contributor to WNYC's political blog, itsafreecountry.org. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Anna, let me start with you and kind of maybe you can give us a feel for what the caucus was like, what voters were talking about, and why they voted the way they did. Let's begin here with Kay Lagan, who appears to have voted for Mitt Romney. And let's talk, and then I'll ask you why.
My name is Kay Lagan. I'm a native of Sioux City, Iowa, and I supported Mitt Romney. He was someone who came with some concrete ideas, and they weren't off the wall. Obviously, it's going to take cooperation from all of the congressmen and women. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. So
Anna Sale, Mitt Romney wins Iowa because he's the least off the wall?
Well, that's what Kay Lagan said. She was one of the people who showed up for the caucus that I was covering in Sioux City, Iowa, in the northwest corner of the state. And at this caucus, like elsewhere, they were motivated and they were divided. No one could seal the deal at this caucus. There were two precincts meeting at Central Baptist Church. One of them went for Romney. One of them went for Santorum.
Well, let's talk about Rick Santorum. You know, the kind of the storyline so far in Iowa, at least, has been that a front runner rises in the polls, and then people learn more about that man or woman, and then they kind of fall by the wayside. And I wonder if the Rick Santorum coming in such a close second is a reflection of that it was his time to be a front runner. Let's listen to one of the voters you spoke to.
Well, I think he's a true conservative and been consistent, and he's spent a lot of time in the state and got his message out. And I think he's very constitutionally oriented.
And when did you decide on Rick Santorum?
Yesterday.
What made the decision for you?
Between him and Ron Paul, I think he has the best chance of beating Obama.
Anna, does it seem like Rick Santorum ended up picking up those undecided voters?
That's what it seemed like at the caucus where I was covering. Voters like Jim Mosier, who you just heard from, Santorum sealed it at the end. This was in a corner of the state that tends to be socially conservative. And what I was really struck by is when the moderator called for someone to speak on behalf of Michelle Bachmann, no one stood. When the moderator called for someone to speak on behalf of Rick Perry, no one stood. Someone ended up finally at the last minute popping up on stage to talk about Bachmann. But it really appeared that at least at this caucus, and it looks like across the state, Santorum was able to kind of coalesce that evangelical support in his corner, at least in Iowa.
Anna Sales, a reporter for Takeaway, co-producer WNYC's political website, It's a Free Country, and Stefan Schmidt blogs for that blog. Stefan, you know, there appears to be unity that everyone wants to find the best candidate to challenge Obama, and perhaps that's Mitt Romney, at least in Iowa. But these Iowa results also tell us that there's a divide over who they think is that best candidate, who could beat Obama.
Well, I think in Iowa, it was also a serious divide over whether you should vote on electability or whether you should vote on fundamental principles, on social values, on gay marriage and abortion and things like that. And I think that divided the voters in a serious, let's call it programmatic way. The ones who thought that you should pick someone who looks the most electable going forward beyond Iowa, kind of gravitated toward Mitt Romney, who hadn't really planned to participate in the Iowa caucuses because he thought he couldn't, you know, attract those conservative Christian voters. And Rick Santorum ended up, as Anna suggested and as you suggested, drawing more of the social conservatives than anyone else, although, of course, there were competitors. I mean, Michelle Bachmann attracted only 5%, but, you know, if those 5% had gone to Santorum, he would have been a bigger winner. And even Rick Perry got conservative, faith-based voters, and he ended up with 10%. So if Perry and Bachmann hadn't been in this thing, it would have been a very, very sad night for Mitt Romney because, you know, Santorum would have had an enormous victory. Going on to New Hampshire, which you may want to talk about in a minute, things change. But it was a really interesting night because three front runners emerged. They were pretty close. Ron Paul did not exceed his expectations at all. He got what he always gets, which is in the 21, 22%, 25% sometimes. And the two big winners who exceeded expectations are the story, Romney and Santorum.
Well, let me ask you, Stephen Schmidt, what are we to make of this sort of storyline, the arc in Iowa, going back to Michelle Bachmann's win in the Ames straw poll and the extraordinarily volatile polling over the months that have come since, with one frontrunner effort or another rising to the top until we've weeded them down to perhaps it is inevitable that Mitt Romney takes the nomination. What does this tell us anything about Iowa voters going into the 2012 presidential election?
Well, remember, Iowa is a closed primary state, although you can technically go that night and re-register yourself as a Republican. But it's really a Republican primary. So the only thing it tells us is something about Republican Iowa voters, which are roughly a third of Iowa voters. The other two-thirds are either no-party independents or Democrats. So going forward to the general election, this is a state that can swing either Democrat or Republican and has done that. And so it's an important state, even with a small number of electoral votes. But it does tell us that the conservatives and faith-based voters are still the majority in the Republican Party, are very active. 60% of them are faith-based voters, probably something like that. And that is a profile that is somewhat different from many of the other states that now become the point of interest. And, you know, the headline by Reuters is that Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, who has a vacation estate in New Hampshire, has 43% there. Well, I'm probably going to New Hampshire. I also have a vacation estate. I don't call it an estate. Because it doesn't have any heat.
An estate with no heat. You could have a fireplace, I guess. Stephen Schmidt, professor of political science at Iowa State University. Anna Sale, reporter for co-producer WNYC's political website, It's a Free Country, where Stephen also blogs. Thanks to both of you.